Trish and Nicole and their expert guests are here to answer all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Candid discussions and stories of the latest trends and greatest gadgets. From dry vagina to frozen faces, Aesthetics Uncensored, where nothing is off limits.
Hello everyone, it's Trish Hammond joining you today with Nicole Montgomery, who is my partner in crime, and we're joined today for the Aesthetics Uncensored podcast, and we're really, really, really excited to be speaking to Hania Oversby, who is a gem in this industry. We're going to find out about her today, so welcome.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much, Trish. I'm so excited to be talking to you and Nicole. Very excited.
Yeah, totally. Nicole, how excited are we?
Sorry, very excited. I love Hania. I had my mute on. Sorry, lady.
That's fine. It's just like, you know, three chicks talking together and we're going to make mistakes and it's all good. It's all good.
Yes.
So, Hania, I met you at one of the very first industry events that I went to when I got into this industry not very long ago, coming from a corporate background myself. So, and you are kind of on the corporate side of this industry. So tell us, first of all, how did you get into the industry and share with us what you do?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I might share with you what I do first. So, because just to position myself, those of you out there who don't know me. So I have a consultancy and since 2001, I've been providing business advice to medical practices and a lot of them in the aesthetic space, aesthetic clinics, plastic surgery, dermatology, cosmetic surgery, cosmetic physicians, nursing clinics, all of them need some business advice because what I find with my clients is in the medical industry, it's a unique industry in that quite often the business owner is also the clinician. And they've got a real challenge because they've got to see patients but somehow manage their business and also grow their business. So that's what I do. I work with a lot of practices all around Australasia, which is quite exciting. But the way I got into this, I've got a Bachelor of Education. So that was interesting that I came from that sort of area. And back in 2001, I met up with a plastic surgeon who said, look, I'd really like to run some courses on teaching doctors how to run their businesses. Come and be my business partner and let's do that together. So I moved into the plastic surgery area, got to know all about the practice management in that space. And we ran the courses from 2001 to 2008 and they were called the third part courses. And that was really exciting. But then from about 2008, we stopped the courses and my consultancy grew. So I did a diploma in practice management with the University of New England and, yeah, just have been working with so many clients around Australia. It's really exciting. And so I suppose that's how I got into this space, Trish.
You know, and I'm not surprised to hear that you're a teacher because you sound like a teacher. You've got that very, you know, like, this is how you do it kind of voice. And I didn't know that you'd actually gone through and done, because although you've never worked in a clinic, have you? You've never worked in a clinic, but you've worked, clinician or anything, but you've always worked on the business of the clinic.
Yes, absolutely. It was very interesting. So when I was first in this sort of space, I started off as a practice manager for the plastic surgery to learn the ropes, I suppose. But it became very evident to me that really what was needed from the outset was systems, you know. So coming from a, as you say, an educational background, it was a matter of systematizing what you do at your business and then delegating off. So we've got people in the business that can follow a system and make it happen. But systems is just a small cog in the whole picture of running your business. So working with clients now, I work more at a strategic level and a business planning strategy, business development, setting key performance indicators, looking at measuring your, setting up metrics, looking how your business is, what do we need to do in your business to perform well, and looking to set strategies in place for business growth. That's what it's all about.
Do you, just for my own personal interest, so do you kind of look at everything in the business? Because like, because what, like just having chats with clinics all the time and people don't know, like it's always about return on investment. And I'm a great believer that you can't always measure return on investment, you know, for all your marketing, because a lot of it is actually digital word of mouth, which is kind of untrackable. But how do you overcome, well, I mean, is that what you get asked? Like, does it all come down to return on investment for clinics?
Return on investment is important when you're deciding on what to invest into. So whether it's marketing or a new device or a laser or whatever it is, and you need, the key is that you need to set up ways to measure your investment into that that new strategy or investment into the business. So return on investment is one thing which is important to know, but I think what's more important is to say, what are we wanting to achieve in this business? So say, for example, I work with businesses and we'll do a review of where you are now, looking at things like your profit and loss, drawing reports from your practice management software, looking overall at the percentages, income versus expenditure, looking at little categories and sort of saying, well, this is where we are now and we would like to do what? We would like to grow by 5%, 10%, 15%. So I think we need to look bigger. So rather than getting stuck in, oh, this marketing, I don't know that we got the return on investment. Oh, this new machine, I don't know that we got the return on investment. We need to be a bit more strategic about it and saying, overall, the clinic needs to grow. I do know that I'm going to have to invest in marketing, perhaps more staffing, a new device, but we've got to say that we, with our planning, we think that these things will help us grow by a certain percentage. Do you see what I'm saying, Trish?
Oh, so I get it.
Yeah.
Return of investment, if somebody's getting stuck on, well, this machine or this marketing or this inject, you need to say, all right, how does this look at the business as a whole? And that's how business owners need to really start looking at their businesses.
What is like a... Yeah, it's like a holistic approach rather than just a one-pronged kind of approach, I guess. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, exactly. So I suppose that's where my value comes in, because with all the practices that we work with, it's not a big organisation generally where you've got a HR department and a business department and a business development department. So I suppose where our value is, we come in as experts in the business, and you outsource your business development to us. And we will do the strategy and business development, but when it comes time to say, oh, we need an expert, we identify that you need a review on your marketing or your marketing strategy, that's where we bring professionals like you and Nicole in to say, right, this is the bit in the strategy or the business plan that we need to look at. Or are we considering another device? We need to do a whole return on investment costing, yes, this is going to work, and then bring it into the business, then measure and see how it's working. So, yeah, it's very holistic. I don't think you can just look at one little bit and saying that's not working. We've got to look at the whole thing.
Yeah. And do you like, is it just as easy to help like a one-person show as it is to help someone who has, say, maybe 8 clinicians, or it's a totally different... are the fundamentals based, I guess the fundamentals are basically the same, but you can obviously cater to a one person show, but get my politics right, one person show, or you know, like a 20 person clinic.
Absolutely. So I suppose what I've got the value, or what our value proposition is, that we've been doing it for so long that we've got so many templates and systems that we bring. Because all businesses, a business is a business is a business. And true. Then we need to, so business principles don't vary much. What the expertise we bring in, or I bring into your practice, is to say, all right, so you're a single operator. We need to look at it as a single operator and how can we grow. But if you're a multi-site chain over 5 states, well, still business principles apply, but we need to look at that a bit differently. It's just applying different business, I suppose, how do we manage that business to ensure that it's a bit different. So, of course, like a single operator, is we just focus on the single operator. But if it's multi-site, so and it's under one ownership, you know, we need to sort of work with head office. And then there's a different strategy on working with each site to ensure that they're meeting the brief or the goals of head office. So, and it's just bringing that head office mentality to their organisations. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true, I guess, because like I've never worked in a clinic at all, but I have worked in a lots of small business, and I've also spent 20 years in the public service, so I know how important those, you know, those fundamental rules apply for, you know, one person show as like a, you know, 2,000 people show. But it's, yeah, getting that out there in the right format, I guess, which is obviously what you've managed to you know, become an expert in.
Yes, actually, yes. So that's what I've been doing for 20 years now. Ah, so I think I started at the age of 10, of course. So thank goodness for cosmetic procedures. But a couple of things, I've been in this industry for a long time, and it's been really exciting, and I've loved working with all the clients. But a couple of things new things that have come about in my business is May last year, as we know, COVID hit, and it was quite a daunting time for everyone. So I found myself for about a 4 or 5 week period with a bit of extra time, because none of us could go anywhere or do anything. So I did put together a podcast at that time called Doctor Diaries.
Woohoo! So love that podcast. I love your podcast.
Thank you. It's so good. And look, the response has been fantastic. I must admit, when I text everybody, all the doctors in May or last year saying, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? They go, yes, please. I'm so bored. I'm stuck at home and I can't do anything. So that was really great. And that really sort of pulls back the curtain, and we have a behind the scenes look at, you know, each of their journeys and their practices and what works and doesn't work and stuff. So that's been really exciting. So we've had some amazing guests. So I'm assuming you can pop the link on your episode notes, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing I've done as of November last year, actually, I was introduced to an amazing woman called Nikki Tsimis, who runs a training company called CPD Institute here in Victoria. And well, I was having a chat to her, and she said there's a real gap in the clinical training and clinical consulting and then the business bit, which, you know, me coming into practices, I'm working on the business, but there's things that need to be addressed in the consulting room and in that clinical aspect, and as well as the environment and culture. So we've put together a product called Aesthetic Business Reset, which is quite exciting. So this is a product where I've always had this really good diagnostic tool that it's made up of 190 questions. It's an online questionnaire, and it really analyzes your business quite closely. And from that, we can glean what are the key areas of the business that we need to focus on, what are the priorities, and we provide an executive analysis report, and then we can provide a opportunity for both of us to consult with clients looking at not only business but the clinical part of your business as well, which is quite exciting.
That's true, because if you don't know, like coming back to what you said earlier, until you know what you want or where you want to go, you won't even know how to get there, especially if you don't know where you're at the moment. So it's good to have that, not so much an exit strategy, but to have that forethought of thinking as to, you know, where you want to go. Because I reckon a lot of clinics, they have probably, you know, business owners would have never even asked themselves that question. Even me and you, Nicole, like we already, when we started this, we said, okay, where do we want to be in 5 years' time? Now, I've never done that before. Yes. And I don't know if, you know, if other people have, they obviously, when we're organised than me, if they have, I've always just sort of like, yeah, let's do this, and never thought about the, you know, the stuff behind it. But it's so important to get that sorted in your business. No matter if you've been in business for you know, 1 week, or if you've been in business for 10 years, if you haven't done that, you really need to look at that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Nicole, I interrupted you.
No, good.
Talk to us, Nicole. Tell us.
I want to know, what is your biggest pet peeve when you walk into a clinic and go, oh, my goodness, why are they doing it this way?
Oh, look, you know, my biggest pet peeve is a few things, is that quite often if you walk into a clinic, it's the patient experience that's not consistent. Mm-hmm. And at the front desk, I always say the front desk is your marketing department. And, if you know, the pet peeve is if you walk in and those front desk people are just got, a line of people waiting to check in, pay their invoices, dealing with phone calls, just that mayhem that I'm I look at them and really they're the clients that I work with, and we, from my perspective, that's the first thing to change, because you really need to make the patient feel that they're special. So the clinics that I've seen that work really, really well have their phone calls taken away from the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
There is no phones on the front desk other than to make a phone call out. So really when your patients are walking in, there's somebody to greet them and say, hi, welcome, because you're about to get somebody who's going to spend a lot of money in your practice.
Mm. Actually, one of the clinics I've worked in, that's how they operated, and they were very successful doing that.
It's an easy thing to do, and it's just a matter of rotating your reception staff and really finding the people in your practice that are good at communicating, not scared to sign people up for a package or a sale, not from a we want your money point of view, but knowing what the best is for the patient. So really the way I see it works well is you've got the meet and greet, so they have a lovely experience, they go see the clinician for a consult. And then after the consult, really my advice is that patient never goes back to the front desk again. Really what should happen is somebody comes to them, or they go to a special area where they can take that sort of treatment plan that the clinician's given them and talk through the costs with somebody who might be a concierge or a patient coordinator or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And then they book them in there and they can even take payments. So really the flow is front desks, lovely meet and greet. Go see a clinician, then you see the patient concierge, and then somewhere off in the practice is a call centre where people are taking calls, making bookings, dealing with online inquiries. So really for me, if I see a practice like that, or we can become that kind of thing, we're well on the road to a successful practice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that I do is lead generating, and everybody I ever speak to, they're always constantly saying to me, we need more leads, need more leads, need more new clients, want more leads, especially on the surgical side, because you don't have that same retention level as you do in non-surgical. And then of course, you know, they get lots of leads coming through their ad funnels and whatnot, and then you ask what's happening with these leads, and they say, oh, they're all terrible leads. And it's like, well, what do you mean they're terrible leads? And this has happened at a couple of different places, and the reception staff are super busy, and the day will come to an end and I'll call up and say, hey, how did you go with the leads today that came through? Because I can see that, you know, that they've received leads. Oh, we haven't had a chance to call them. And then sometimes I would actually go back and audit. And because I'd be like, how is this possible that you haven't converted anybody? And some of them will say, you know, nobody contacted them. It's just a debacle. And I think that when Trish was saying earlier about one clinic versus, a franchise, I find the bigger clinics, the clinics that do have the systems in place, you know, how quickly they follow up a lead, how quickly they answer a phone call, how they manage that patient from beginning to end, and keep it consistent, they're the clinics that are such a dream to work with, because all of their leads convert.
Yeah. Nicole, you make such a valid point. And working with businesses, I think what's important to sort of point out to business owners is every new client is a big investment, investing in you generating the leads, or they're generating themselves. So you really need to jump on to those leads. The challenge is, as you said, you've got an overwhelmed staff member at the front desk that's trying to put payment through and make appointment bookings. And they actually see more patients coming in as more work. So my suggestion is, this is what I often say to business owners. You're the business owner, so your business is growing and there's profitability for you ultimately. But if you're employing people who are paid by an hourly rate and that's it, there is no incentive for them to work harder because they're still going to get that hourly rate. So my tip is set up an incentive scheme for conversion for whomever is the person that's going to convert that person to an appointment that's going to go through with the procedure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that because then they've got skin in the game.
That's it.
And if everybody was paid on that method of payment, I reckon we'd get a lot more outcome from people that are working.
Yeah, so they need to be incentivized. And when I say incentivized, it's not always money or things. Like, there's many ways that incentives is a whole new podcast to talk about. But there is that. But the other thing I'm going to say is, as a business consultant working with my clients, the most expensive lead is the new.
Yes.
This doesn't really work with surgical so much, but with aesthetic, non-surgical, is your most valuable asset, your gold mine, is your database, the existing patients, because they've already had a relationship with you. They like you. They trust you. They need to be contacted, and you need to, go down that mine of your own practice software to reconnect with the people who have already got a relationship. Surgical practices, I agree, Nicole, bit of a challenge because it's quite often a one-time experience.
Yes, yeah. And that's, you know what, though, I do find with the surgical, that's why it's more important to have that process down pat, because it's the word of mouth that makes such a difference.
Oh, word of mouth is everything. So I think the word of mouth is something that you've really got to be aware of and ensure that every point of contact that somebody has with your business is five-star. Everything from the phone call to the online booking or the, meeting with the clinician or the follow-up, so important that it's a five-star experience the whole way through. And that's probably the biggest challenge for most practices, to ensure that this is this high quality is maintained.
Yes, definitely, especially with different personality types. Nurses sometimes are really great with customer service and nurturing, but other times they're very clinical focused, especially if they're from a theatre environment, because they're used to not conversing with, patients.
Yeah, best patients, the unconscious one.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they have a different approach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good point, Nicole. What I find in a lot of practices, they go, this nurse will also be the patient liaison, but they've not been trained in sales or closing a sale.
Yes.
So they might be great as explaining the procedure, but really you need the person who can ask for the patient to commit or book in and be comfortable with that to be doing the final step.
Absolutely. And that's what differentiates the nurse injectors, because they're constantly upselling products, after skincare, all sorts of things, which technically in a surgical practice, the nurse could be doing in their post-operative appointments with, different types of scar therapies and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in saying that, that's also a very, you need to constantly educate your staff. So education in that is really important, and that's something that can help your business grow too if you invest in bringing that sort of knowledge to the business, because quite often it's not that people don't want to know how to do it, they just don't know how to do it, how to phrase. This is where you guys are the experts in this sort of thing, but how to phrase a question and, how to present an opportunity and then be comfortable to say, all right, well, let's make it happen. So, yeah.
That's so true. And, you know, even one thing, as a patient, just coming from a patient perspective now, and because I hear it on our Facebook groups all the time, so we've got a few, you know, between myself and my co, we've got quite a few patient groups, and one of the most common things that we hear is exactly what you've said about not feeling like someone cares about them. But what I would like to see, like, as a patient is I go and do exactly what you said, come in there, get you know, get served, get taken off to a patient concierge or someone who will be my method, my the person that I communicate with all the time, because the amount of times when someone just rings the clinic and wants to find out something about their surgery, would be good to say, oh yeah, hang on, you know, Sarah's looking after you, I'll just put you on to Sarah, and if Sarah's not there, just, you know, just having that person, that one person that connect to in the clinic, rather than just ringing in and, oh, who are you again, what's your name, and like just building that connection is lost so many times, and people I've heard so many times where people have said that, look, I love the surgeon, but I just don't think that I could deal with the people, you know, in the office or the girl at the front, which is really uber sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's such a common occurrence. And what I think my observations are that when you start out your business or your practice, you feel grateful that anybody wants to be your nurse or secretary, and you go, oh, thank God somebody's there answering the phone. But as usually I'm called in, I find when the clinician's really busy and the systems that they implemented whatever time when they started are still going along, but they're not necessarily suitable for where they've grown. So I say that they're suffering from growing pains. So, and it's so true, because the business has evolved, it's turned into something else. And so like there was one clinic that a specialist dermatology clinic actually I worked with that suffered from growing pains, and they said, come and help us out. So I did a sort of a needs review and an assessment, and actually what has happened was the people who were there were fantastic from the beginning of the practice, but the responsibilities had outgrown the people that were there. They were promoted internally. They didn't have the skills, business skills, to grow the business. And in fact, when I talked to the staff there, some of them said, look, I'd like to tap out because what's being asked of me is beyond my skill level. So it's really important to stop and say, who is my team? They're really loyal, but do they have the skills to take me to that next level?
I guess that comes in, if they don't, are they the person to train up to get them those skills and get someone else in their role? And, you know, is this the way that they move up in the ranks?
Yeah. And look, to be honest, everybody makes an assumption that everybody wants to move up in the ranks. Some people say, I am perfectly happy in the position I started with. I just have been given all these extra responsibilities. So if you found somebody to be to manage me and I could maintain where I am, I'd actually be quite happy. So it's just a matter of looking at what the organisational, that's where my expertise comes in. We come in and we say, all right, what kind of growth do we want to have? And as you said, where do we want to finish up? You know, I want one clinic. I want to have four sites. I want to have more services. And then we do a organisational plan to suit the growth. And then look at that org chart in what positions are required for this business to run effectively. Then we can take the people in the business and say, hey, these are the people we've got. Where would each person fit in and where are our gaps? And then you know where you need to recruit.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Look, it's quite exciting. So as I said, this is my day job. This is what I do day after day. So I find it quite exciting because for me to come to a business and say, let us give you a hand, it's not daunting. I've got so much experience in solutions that have worked elsewhere, but we can tailor it and make it bespoke. But it's really exciting because you're working with each business owner who has their own vision, their own mission, the mission, their dreams, their goals. So that's really important on the outset to establish that. And then working together with them on the long term. So the way I do work is I call it phase one, we do sort of the business review or business planning. And then after that, it's quite clear on how we need to help that practice. And people engage with me on an ongoing retainer, monthly retainer, for however long we need to get them to that next level. So yeah. it works really well. Yeah.
So and what do you do on your spare time?
Well, my spare time, I love to do a dance class on my spare time is Thursday night's dance class. I love
what
to
sort
do
of dance. You're going to tell me what sort of dance? Is it flamenco or ballet or?
No, it's character dancing. So it's got a classical bar, and then they do and then character in the centre work and choreography. But it's not for performing. It's just a recreational, which is lots of fun at the Ministry of Dance here in Victoria, which is fun. I love KX Pilates. I don't know, giving them a plug, but that's fun. And spin classes. So exercise is fun, but my family's really important. So my spare time is cook, feed, eat, everybody come around. I'm really lucky because all my beautiful children are grown up. So actually my son Adrian is in the industry.
Adrian. He's gorgeous. Oh, my
God. He works with Teoxane, so that's really, really great. And gorgeous husband, Darren, works for Luminous Lasers. I tell you, this house is all just medical, but my daughter is the only one that's broken free, and she's a consultant with a legal degree, so she's exciting. But the most exciting thing is Adrian and his beautiful wife, Fontaine, have had a baby.
Congratulations, Grandma.
I know. I'm a bubba, actually. That's the Ukrainian. A bubba.
So your heritage is Ukrainian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but I was born in the UK and we came to Australia when I was very young, but I was brought up like a good Ukrainian girl, going to Ukrainian schools. my language is excellent.
Yeah.
But, yes, look, Europeans, food, family, wine, love it.
We're all the same. The three of us.
I know. Look, our house is always just open door, people in and out. I love it. Anybody come and join, sitting around laughing and talking, and it's just lovely. So you guys are the same, I know. It's open heart policy.
And, Hanya, I always struggle with this with clinics. What is your thought on influencers and free treatments?
That's very interesting. Now, there's a ROI that you need to do.
Yes, I struggle so much. Some clinics give away so many free treatments to so many people and say, oh, but she's the hairdresser. She recommends us to everyone in her salon, and she's this person and she's that person. And most of the time, I don't know who any of these people are.
I know. Look, I think this influencer situation is a bit bamboozling, but this is how I like to look at it, is essentially you're entering into a business relationship with a referrer. That's basically it. So you can say that I can provide you a free treatment, or this hairdresser is going to do this, but really, if you had a good manager there, that needs to have follow-up, or there needs to be a deal made before you give the treatment so they understand the value. So say, for example, you're giving away a treatment that's worth $500 or $1,000 retail to this person. Yeah. Well, they could have invested that in you or Trish, because that's marketing dollars. Because that's what they've essentially lost in having this. But that's fine to do that, but you really need to have a deal with the influencer to say, happy to provide this. This is $1,500 worth of treatments, but for that, we would like to see 7 posts. We've got a referral program, and here's a pad. Take it to your salon, and anybody who comes from your salon needs to bring this little certificate so we know it's from you. And people will be incentivized to come into the salon, from the salon to the clinic, and say, oh, I'm from Hanya's hairdressing salon. It says here, if I use this little voucher, I get a complimentary sample of skincare. Oh, so good. So really, we need to keep them accountable. This is my thing. Set up systems for them. They're business partners. You don't want to annoy them, but you can't just say, oh, here's your treatment. See ya. I hope you do something for me. Oh.
But it happens all the time, though.
But
I see it a bit different because I see it happen all the time in the groups and all that sort of thing. I say you should allocate this amount of time to actually offer those treatments to the local hairdresser or whatever and get those people in, because once they're your raving fans, their word spreads like wildfire. People would definitely go and visit someone just on a recommendation of a person rather than off the internet.
The problem, Trish, is keeping them as raving fans. It snowballs, and all of a sudden there's clinics giving away treatments, to the value of like injectables, a couple of $1,000 every 6 months. And where does it end? Because then as soon as you stop, without any formal agreement in place, it becomes bad blood.
Yeah. Look, it was my client, and they said, Hanya, we've got Nicole Montgomery is coming and she's going to be an influencer for us. You'd really need to have a look at who that is. Mm.
And it's cash for comment. Yeah. If I ever have a free treatment, I tell people that I didn't pay for the treatment.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden that loses credibility. You're not technically a raving fan because you're not paying for it. Whereas if I have gone and paid for a treatment, like if I said to you, Hanya, I've gone and I've had this resurfacing treatment. It was amazing. Look at my results. I can't believe it. And he says, oh, how much was it? Oh, it was $500. Instantly there is that credibility. But if I say, oh, well, it was free and I'm promoting it because they're paying me, I feel like you lose a little bit of credibility.
Yeah, look, this is a real delicate, and it's so new. I'm not very new, but I think the people that are naive about it are the business owners, because they don't actually know how to get the best. They're in that the power at the moment sits with the influencer, because they don't understand. They don't understand how to negotiate. And I think that's the key, is because clinicians generally are uncomfortable talking about money. In fact, they're the first to discount and say, oh, yeah, we'll give you this for free and so forth. But then, as you said, Nicole, that's cost to the business. So really what should happen is, in your own business, if you do have an influencer that would like some treatment, that's fine. But get someone, an expert in, that can negotiate the deal.
Mm.
Can follow up. So that might be you and Trish to say, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. But what we'd like to see is three posts. They need to look like this. We're going to take a photo when you're in the clinic. Da, da, da. Whatever the terms, it's an agreement thing.
Yes, yes. I think in an ideal world, Trish, if you had a hairdresser, for instance, who did do the right thing and did tell all of their friends, you would actually see a significant spike in your sales and inquiries. But you can't actually pin them down and say, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the influencers, if you're going to actually go with a massive, big influencer, they're going to always have a company that they work with that they have to put everything in, and it's going to cost you, tens of thousands of dollars. There's none of this like one treatment. And
I'm talking about the micro-influencers.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was referring to those as well.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Those ones Beck Judd. Yeah. Beck Judd does amazing things for flawless rejuvenation. Every time I see her up there, I go, oh, wow. Will I look like her if I go to flawless rejuvenation?
You see, she was on my podcast as well, Beck, because she's actually a psychologist by training.
No way.
Yeah, so she trained to be a speech pathologist. Then she worked at the Alfred for a few years as well. So it was really interesting to have her on, because why did she, her journey from being a medical person, then the opportunities that arose to go to become who she is now. So it's very interesting.
Oh, look, she's done great things for the skincare company and flawless rejuvenation. Very different ball game. Sorry, talking about a professional influencer who actually has, a proper PR company behind them. I was more talking about, I get tons of clinics who are like, oh, we've got this person and that person. And I think, who is this person? And you're paying them all this money.
Yes. Yeah. Or in terms of treatments. Yes.
Yes.
Well, really, that's where this falls into your area of expertise, I've got to say, because you're the marketing people.
Well, generally the answer I get is, oh, I can't, they've been coming now for, you know, 2 years. I can't, what am I going to say? I can't say all of a sudden you have to pay. So it's very awkward for them, I guess, like you said.
Well, I suppose this lends itself to saying you really need to have a marketing plan. I mean, really, as much as you need a business plan, you need a marketing plan as well, and put a budget around that. And so really a good marketing plan or business plan will have a budget for the marketing plan. You know what you're investing in for the 12 months. And then if something, an opportunity arises such as this, you need to say, oh, is it worth doing that? Is there something we need to take out of our marketing plan to replace it with this, or can we add it to? So again, going back to, you really need to run your business like a business.
Like what you said, coming back to that original agreement, just having some sort of an agreement in place. You know, we'll look after your skin, you know, for the next however long, but we want to make sure that you do, you know, this, you know, this many posts or this shout outs or whatever, and just making that, like getting the agreement right in the first place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, all I'm going to say is clinician, it's not in their wheelhouse to do all these things, and nor should it be, because your value is best seeing patients. That's what you're trained to do. So I'm going to give myself a plug and you guys a plug. Bring in the experts. Bring the experts in. You might think, well, that's an investment, but if that investment helps your business grow 5 to 10%, well, then that's the investment. You have to invest in your business for it to grow. It won't happen per chance. You need to proactively make plans, implement them, look how they go, measure. Somebody's got to be driving that. They're going to be driving your organisation. So, yeah, that's my biggest tip.
Yeah, that's so true. So that's your biggest tip. Nicole, what's your biggest tip? Can't wait to tell you mine.
Thanks, Nicole.
It's true that you do need to have someone looking after the business, or at least to introduce you into it, you know, just to sort of, you know, someone to make you aware of what you need to be aware of, hey?
Yeah, it's like the egg before the chicken, you know what I mean? Like, again, there's no point having fantastic marketing and, you know, I know this clinic in southern Sydney, oh, my gosh, the most beautiful specialist, and the poor thing, bless her cotton socks, she spent $10,000 on bus ads. So, you know, like how you see the people on the buses? These bus ads were amazing. She was loving them. She's in the local magazine. So she put this huge budget into marketing and her website went down. And she didn't know. And they were wondering, gosh, these ads aren't working. Nothing's working. You know, phone's not ringing. That you couldn't contact her through Google My Business, through the website. She had an overseas company managing the website and called crying and said, what am I going to do? I'm going to close up shop. I've had enough. That's it. Not doing this. My husband was right. I should have stayed in the public system. And was just gutted. And I thought, you know, this is the problem. People don't do everything and have the systems in place, have the staff in place. Yeah. So if you do get leads, you need to know where they're going to go, who's going to answer them, and how they're going to be converted.
And why is someone not jumping onto the website every day to see that it's like just
they were paying a company to manage their website.
Oh my god!
So they assumed that it was just being managed.
God, let me check our website while you're mentioning it.
So she lost all that money, all down. Down drain.
I'm sorry to hear that.
God,
I know.
Well, my takeaway, I reckon the biggest thing that I reckon clinics go wrong with is the fact that they, when the phone rings, they think, oh, shit, this is a phone call I've got to take and I've got to get these people off the phone because I am so busy. So I think once the mindset changes from this is not a phone call, this is an actual lead that's coming through, you know, what am I going to do with it? I think that's the biggest mistake clinics make in my mind.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
Let's get a salesperson on the front desk, hey?
I feel like we need to open a clinic now.
Ah, there you go. Let's go.
I'll answer the phone.
I won't answer the phone. Oh, it's so funny. All right.
That's awesome. Well, I don't have any other questions. I reckon we've covered so much today. What about you, Nicole?
Yes, no, think that this is amazing. Lots of fun, ladies.
There's a dog barking.
Oh, no, that's been lots and lots of fun. So, look, I love talking to you too. I've known you both for such a long time. Amazing. You're so inspirational. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Henya. Yeah, we're loving it. Hey, Nicole, we have our...
Yes, and we love Dr. Diaries.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Dr. Diaries is so good.
Thank you. Yeah, tune in. And if anybody's listening wants to just have a chat, feel free to connect. I'm more than happy to have a chat.
Yeah, now give us your email. So it's you've got the website, which is specialistconsulting.com.au.
Yes, and it's Hanya at specialistconsulting.com.au.
Which is H-A-N-Y-A.
Yep.
Want to get in touch with it?
You want my mobile?
Go on, why not?
Oh, well, why not? +61. +404073900074.
Okay, that sounded like about 20 digits, but yeah.
I don't know why. 404073900074.
Perfect. And you know what? For all of you listeners out there, if you do have a problem, just you know, slide into our DMs and just ask us. We'll put you in touch with Hanya anyway.
Yeah, and good luck with anybody's looking great. Can't wait.
Thank you. Oh, we're so excited. I may die of a heart attack before we launch, but hey, oh well.
No heart attacks.
You know, I died doing something that I love.
Yes, exactly.
All right, ladies, have an awesome day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for the invite. Look forward to catching you soon. Ciao, ciao.
Lovely.
Bye.
And this is if you love this episode, just slide into our DMs, got any questions, drop us a review on the podcast platform that you're listening to, and we'll see you next episode. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
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 Got a burning question for Trish and Nick at Aesthetics Uncensored? Slide into their DMs on Instagram @AestheticsUncensored. Stay positive, boobs and chin high.